All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, bringing in an old friend of the show, Scrap Iron, Phil Kohner, former Astros manager and player for years and years and years, joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Gar, what's up?
Oh, not much. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing great, man. Here's what we're doing this morning. Because Vin Scully died, one of our listeners called up and said that he went to L.A. and he listened to Vin Scully. He heard Vin Scully on the radio. So we're doing Brushes with Greatness this morning. Mine was while I was standing behind Harry Callis in a food line, and he said, "The lasagna looks delicious." So that was my brush with greatness. Is there anybody that you've met all your years, all the stars that you've been around and everything else where you were like, wow, you were starstruck? What was your brush with greatness?
Yes, Gar played with Cesar Cedeno. Yes, he had a brush with greatness.
I did, yes, briefly. That's true. Well, as long as we're on with the great announcers, I love Harry Callis. There's no question. Everybody loved Harry Callis, that great deep voice that he had. And I actually liked him when he did the NFL shorts. I thought those things were really, really cool. But, boy, there's been some great ones over the years. And I'm drawing a blank on our L.A. announcer.
Vin
right
Scully.
Now.
Vin Scully,
yeah. Did you meet him?
Yeah. Vin, I was the All-Star 1976. And Vin Scully was emceeing the luncheon that day. And the one thing I remember, and Vince, you know what the hallmark is of the great announcers in those days were, they were larger than life, but they had no ego. And Vince Scully, you would not even know he was in the room. You heard his voice, and people sort of gravitated towards him because he had great stories. But at the luncheon that day, the one quote that I remember was he said, "Gentlemen, enjoy this day because it's between the All-Star game and the old-timers game." And boy, was he right about that. And I brought that up to him over the years when I'd go into L.A. I said, "Man, I don't know where you got that, but boy, you were spot on." But it is true. He was a great person and really loved the man.
Yeah, Vin Scully dead at the age of 94. Phil Kohner with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Astros bring in a couple of guys, three guys. Now, it's easier to work Will Smith in because he's a reliever and you can, you know, there's so many opportunities. But, you know, you've been attached to Yuli for six or 7 years now that Yuli's been around. They love Maldonado. As a manager, how do you work these new guys in and keep everybody happy, Gar?
Well, you might not keep everybody happy. It appears to me, I heard James Click talk last night on the game, they're still committed to Maldonado, even though, you know, his offense is woeful. Now, I'm okay with a great catcher that can handle the pitching staff, but when your club's struggling, we seem to do against the poor teams, the Athletics, the Boston Red Sox now, we've struggled here recently, and you're not scoring. You got to do something with that lineup. So you got to put some guys in there. And the bottom third of our lineup is just not pulling its weight. So you're going to have to mix some of these guys in my opinion. Now, Dusty has always been known as a player's manager. He may not do that, and we'll see. And in the end, we've got a great cushion. Basically, we're talking about tough times, and we're 29 games above 500. Gee whiz, everybody would love to be 29 games above 500, and we've got a schedule that's not too difficult the rest of the way. So, but I've seen this happen. I got to say this about Gurriel. I don't think Gurriel also all of a sudden hit the age where he's not going to be able to hit anymore. And I've seen this happen, you know, through the season. The guys really struggle through the season, and he gets to the playoffs, and boom, here he comes. And, you know, he just plays out. So that could very well happen with Gurriel. I don't think it'll happen with Maldonado. I don't see him. In my opinion, he's not been a good hitter. So he's going to have to mix in Christian Vasquez, I think, give him more playing time maybe than Mancini gets. But I imagine he's going to play Mancini some, a little bit at first, but probably some in the outfield too.
This is what's interesting. When you look at the splits on Yuli, going from April to August, 605, 621, 749, 751. and now only 8 at-bats, but an 875 in August. Every month has climbed a little bit. And, Gar, it's going to be tough if Yuli all of a sudden starts getting back to 800 OPS Yuli, because you're not going to want to take him out of the lineup. He's another guy who is, I want you to talk about this, the personality of a clubhouse. We get caught up in numbers and in, you know, the statistics, but can you talk for a second about the player makeup and the way that personalities create their own kind of ecosystem and how important, or maybe it's overrated. I don't know what your opinion is, but can you talk about that, a player's personality in that locker room and what it can mean over 162 and beyond in the playoffs?
Well, there's no doubt that I think that the personality of the team, which is developed by the personality of the individual players, I think that goes a long way. There's never been a team I've been associated with or that I've known that wins, that gets into the playoffs, that they won't say, we've got great camaraderie here, we've got great chemistry, if you will. So that's and also described as team personality. I think that Gurriel, and you're right, right now it would be a mistake just to look at his average, because he's not going to get his average way up there. It's too many plate appearances. But what he can do is he can have a really good couple of months here and finish off really strong. But what I've also known over the years is that people like Yuli realize that there's a higher goal, and that is you fit together on a team. It's not always just about you. And if Mancini gets in and starts hitting the ball, I don't think you won't see Gurriel making a big fuss about it. I don't see him as that type of personality. He'll be supported, be disappointed, but he'll be supportive if the team wins and the guy's doing his job. So in that respect, I think Gurley is the ultimate team player. And I probably believe Maldonado, although I don't know either guy very well, I suspect they're probably both the same way, because there is good chemistry on that ball club by all accounts. So it will be interesting to see how all this plays out. I mean, the surprising thing about this team is we seem to play to whatever level of the competition. We get up for the Yankees, we get up for the Dodgers, we get up for the really good teams, and boy, we've been totally flat against the poorer teams, the teams not been playing well, a la Boston and the Athletics here recently. So I hope that changes, and that maybe there's not a sense of urgency that these guys have right now, since they do have such a good cushion, but hopefully that changes.
Phil Garner with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Gar, what about, Mancini, you can put him out in left field, even right field too. He's got 180-some starts in left field, 187, I believe, starts in left field. So you can put him out there. What about when Brantley comes back, you're gonna have some issues there, but what about Tucker to center, Brantley in a corner and Mancini in a corner? You're losing a lot of defense. As a manager, how is that something that you would look at?
I would, but Tucker's got to straighten up for me. Listen, I've been a fan of Tucker since I went to spring training with AJ Hinson. He was a young pup, and I told AJ I really like this kid. And when I saw him. But he's gotten so pull happy, I might have to take him out of the lineup and put Mancini in for the moment. He's all out of whack right now. And I don't know if these guys have gotten in their head that, they keep hearing this deal that strikeouts and pulling the ball doesn't matter as long as you hit home runs. Well, it does matter when you manage, when you see guys go to the plate who have great capability. Listen, there's one axiom in baseball that will forever be saying: when you hit the ball in the middle of the diamond, you will hit for more power. And when you get pull happy, you lose your power. That's done. You've got to get that in your head. So I'm mad at Tucker right now because I'm a great fan of his, and he's got to get back to the middle of the diamond if he's going to do any good. But in terms of his defense, I don't have a problem putting center field. I think he's an exceptional player. But I also think you got to keep the DH slot open a little bit, because you got to rotate Alvarez out of that spot once in a while. For me, Alvarez is playing well in left field, but you want to get him off his feet a couple of times a week and give him that DH slot. So, I could see a lot of changes happen in the outfield, and I hope you have better intel than I don't have any intel. But I hope Brantley's going to come back. I keep seeing that they're not sure and they don't know, but we certainly need him.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a concern when you look at if Brantley's out and you've got – I mean, Tucker just came off a 621 OPS July. And,
no, he's been awful.
And, you know, Bregman, for as much as he bounced back a little bit, he's still not the same Bregman. You're not scoring runs against the Mariners. You're not scoring runs against the Red Sox. Phil, this is a concern where this offense, the pitching's better than it's been in the past from top to bottom, you know, 1 through 5, and then, of course, your bullpen, I think. But, I mean, it's not a stretch to say this team really scores, really struggles scoring runs relative to other Astro offenses.
I would totally agree with that. I've actually been pleasantly surprised by our pitching from top to bottom this year. It's been much, much better than I thought it was going to be. And what has been disappointing is Bregman for me offensively. He's also lost his way. And it may be that what happens when you lose a Brantley and the team starts not scoring the kind of runs that you think that a player thinks they ought to do, they start trying to put too much on themselves. And typically guys start trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark when that happens, those guys that are capable. And it looks to me like that Bregman's fallen into the same trap as Tucker. Now, Tucker's always been able to go to left center field with some power better than Bregman, although Bregman can hit the ball to right center field. Bregman's more of a pull hitter, but he's gotten to be too much of a pull hitter. He's got to do the same thing Tucker's done. He's got to force himself to go up the middle if he's going to get his old swing back. And what's surprising is players will find out when they do that, when they start taking that approach back through the middle, it's trouble at first, but then they'll start hitting some of the breaking balls out of the ballpark. They'll hit fastball middle of the diamond, and then when the breaking balls come that the pitchers make a little mistake on, they'll hit them out of the ballpark. So that's got to happen, I think, before our whole offense gets back on a click. And it may be one of the reasons we're so streaky right now. You hit a streak in there where if the pitchers aren't making good pitches on you, we're going to wear out because we do have good hitters. We'll wear you out. But if you hit a streak where the last couple of nights we've had some pretty good pitching thrown against us, and they're going to eat you up if you're pull happy, and that's what's happening in my opinion.
Yeah, man, we see Yordan going the other way all the time for the game winner the other day. He went the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. And Pena went the other way and finally got a base hit, got out of his 0-for-19. Yuli went up the middle last night, got the RBI single. You're absolutely right. But what about, you know, Pena's been struggling mightily, Agar. They moved him out of the two-hole. They put Yuli in the two-hole. Yuli's hitting now out of the two-hole. Is it because he's seeing better pitches with Yordan behind him and Pena's not now?
I think that has something to do with it. It's very subtle, but it very definitely happens. And just look at our lineup right now. Once you get past Bregman, nobody's giving you. Actually, once you get past Yordan, nobody's really putting any fear into anybody. So I think what happens. Pitchers can be cautious, and it doesn't cost them. I mean, I see them pitching around Alvarez a lot, even to get to Bregman. And when you're not putting the ball in play or not putting in play in good areas on the field, you're not instilling fear into the other pitchers. And that's a subtle game within the game, is that when the pitchers start to fear, three, four, five, and six in your lineup, boy, they got a problem. And right now, I don't think they're fearing our four, five, and six. And so these pitchers are making good picks. We'll get it back, I'm pretty sure. I'd just rather see it sooner than later. I don't like to see us losing to Boston, to be honest with you.
No.
That upsets me.
No, we don't need them getting any. No. 847, that's Phil Garner right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Gar, always great talking some baseball with you. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it, man.
Good. Enjoyed it, Doug.
Okay. There's Phil Garner right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
Concept Mayhem, Tony, he said, when the guy who was saddled with Everett Ausmus and pitcher talks about how bad the lower third of the order has been, yikes.
He knows.
That was Phil Garner.
He knows.